Welcome home, everyone. Thank you for joining in on this episode of Welcome Home with the Katinas. Welcome Home is a podcast where I, your host Josh, sit down for a conversation with different people who I admire and discuss whatever's on their mind, and especially focus on life at home in times like this. Wherever you are and however you're listening, thank you for your support, and once again, welcome home. Welcome, everyone. Thank you for joining in on this week's episode of Welcome Home with the Katinas. I want to start off by thanking all of you who support this show and support Katina Ministries by watching, listening, consuming, or interacting with us online. And I especially want to thank those of you who partner with us financially. It's because of you we're able to do things like this show and everything else we do with Katina Ministries. Maybe you're listening and you're wondering, what do they do? How do I become a partner? The best way for you to do that, find out more information, is to visit our website, thekatinas.com. You'll find everything you need to know there. So thanks in advance for doing that. And today we are joined by a first-time guest, which is a treat. We've been on a run now for the last few weeks having first-time guests, and my Uncle Jesse texted our group thread for the podcast and said, yeah, I think I have someone who might be interested. This would be a good guest for our show. So I said, bring him on, Uncle Jesse. And so we're excited today to have him. And I'd like to welcome him to the show, Pastor Mark Rampula. Thank you for being here, Mark.
It's good to be here. It's good to be here. Come on now. First time.
Yes.
Let's go.
I'm glad you're here. And for our listeners and our audience, I'm just going to ask if you would, to start off, could you introduce yourself to our audience? Tell us a little bit about who you are, what you do, where you're from. And if you wouldn't mind also sharing what your connection is with the Katina family.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So my name is Mark Rampula. I'm pastor here in Spring Hill. Mm-hmm. Now, we're originally from South Jersey, right outside of Philly. Oh. So we came here 20 years ago, I came here as a musician like everybody else did. You know, man, everybody's coming in, and you come in here quickly, you find out you're a big fish in a little pond back home, and you come here, you're a little fish in a big pond. And so we got involved in a church where Jesse was part of, and I think some of you other brothers were there too, a church in Brentwood. That's where we connected years ago. And then our wives actually did some haircutting for a while out of your old house. Uh-huh. And we did a salon there. So that was cool. So we've known each other for a long time. So we pastor right now. We've been pastoring in this church for 15 years. And that's a whole story in itself. We got 10 kids. That's a whole story in itself. So that's the thing. A big Philly sports fan. Yeah, and I know that's we could go there, but we might not want to.
Oh, we will.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll definitely get it.
But I think that's the gist of it, man. We're just excited. One of the biggest things that I love is connecting the body of Christ together. Mm-hmm. Really believe strongly. John 21, where Jesus says that they all may be one. Mm-hmm. We all be one. We all want to come together and be united. So that's our heart, and that's it. It's John 17, by the way. I don't know why I said John 21. You can edit that out.
It's all good.
I do know my scripture, by the way. Somebody's like, that's a pastor? John 17. I just
John 21 in the message.
No.
Well, again, thank you so much for taking the time to be here. I guess I'd like to start out asking about, you know, as a pastor here in our community. So you didn't come to Nashville planning to be a pastor. No. That's... what's the story behind, how did you end up in the position that you're in now?
So, you know, my wife and I grew up in church together. So we were in, we were in youth group together, grew up. And when we started dating, I really felt like the Lord was like, you know, I'm like, oh, I'm going to do worship and do music. And I went to school for music. I actually studied music in college. So that was my whole thing. So when we came here, that was the thing that the Lord used. I kind of say he likes to trick us sometimes. He used that to get us to Tennessee. And then once we got here, the Lord began to kind of just rekindle some things that I noticed growing up that was in me, that people had whether prophesied or just spoke about. And all of a sudden I realized, oh no, that there's more than just music in me. And I really enjoyed pastoring. And so there was a challenge, because when you start a church, we started our church in our living room. So that was, That's crazy. There's a lot of things that I learned, and I'm like, I don't know if I do that again, man. I was like, man, Lord, you really tricked me, man. Jehovah Sneaky. He was like, okay, man. So we were like, we're like in the living room doing that whole thing. I mean, total ground floor, grassroots. And but as we did it, I realized the Lord was teaching me. There was something in that that I knew was innately in me, which was to pastor and to connect people to Jesus. And the music thing, oddly enough, it's still part of who I am. We still get to do worship. I don't have to do it every Sunday. I don't want to do it every Sunday. But now worship is a part of who I am. It doesn't drive me. It's just another piece of who I am. So starting a church in your living room in this area is nuts, right? Because there's about, you could throw a rock in any direction, hit a pastor. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you have to know that God's called you to do it. I mean, there's, I think from what I remember, like this last month, there was at least three or four new churches that I know of that started in Franklin in the last month.
Wow.
So people are coming from all over to start a church. So I'm like, Lord, why would you bring me here? And then the whole part of John 17, unity, realizing that my desire is to connect the body of Christ, not just build a church, but actually see all churches come together in one.
Yeah. That's one thing I admire about you, Mark, is just how connected you are with pastors in town and the fellowship and the communion that you all have together. Yeah. I know there was an event not too long ago. I think you were involved in it, the Send at the arena.
Yeah, yeah.
And just seeing some posts going around and seeing you there, just I was so proud, man.
Yeah, it's an absolute joy. It's a passion of mine, you know. You say, you know, being connected. I'm trying to think if that's because I'm Italian, you know, we're connected, you know. But I mean, I'm just kidding. I think overall, to me, like if all I do is build Southview Church, like to me, that's not fulfilling enough. I want to see, and it even goes as far as diversity. Like I want to see every tribe, tongue, nation, you know, represented in our community, but also connected together. And I think if we really do this right with the heart of Jesus, we can actually connect denominations. And that's what we're seeing. You know, we can come together around the core value of Christianity, which is Jesus. You know, we don't have to debate the theological things. I mean, there's times for that, but really it's kind of a small part of the kingdom when we think about some of those things. It's really about coming together and showing the city, because listen, if we can't do it here in Nashville, I mean, what's going on here? There's so many churches. Yeah. We should be able to unite. And we did that. I mean, we even in COVID, during COVID, we had Beyond Our Walls, which was an outdoor event.
Right.
We had at least 20 to 25 different churches represented. During COVID shutdown, we're out there proclaiming Jesus. Mm-hmm. Governor Bill Lee was out there. I mean, it was amazing. Yeah. And that's all because of us coming together relationally over the last years.
That's beautiful, Pastor. It's so good to have you here. We've been to Southview. I remember, speaking of COVID, we started doing these online worship sets for churches. And really, that was that's a whole nother story how that that came. But, you know, when you sometimes you're doing something, you're like, is this really a need? And Southview was one of the first churches that you guys support. You're like, sure, we'll take one. We'll support you guys. And so thank you for that.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to ask you, the whole bringing the body of Christ together, did that happen because that's what you grew up in or because you didn't grow up
that's
in
a good question.
And wanted to see it happen?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, I think there was a moment growing up, Leanne and I were in this church, and very charismatic church, full of the Holy Spirit, the gifts. And there was another church probably 5 minutes down the road, big church, very evangelistic, not super gifts, but really like kind of more evangelistic and strong word. And I remember growing up thinking, why aren't we doing stuff together? And I had this kind of thought process like, oh, there's something wrong with them, you know? And then over time, we ended up transitioning from that church to the one down the street. And I realized, well, these guys are good too. And and as a young, I was probably in my teens, early 20s, I was like, what is going on here? And I knew that was the moment God was putting something in my spirit to say, you're called to help unite these churches together. So when I came here, the real reason why I needed and connected with pastors is because when you start a church in your living room, you don't know anything. I grew up in church. I know what not to do. But I was questions like, I'm like, what do you do about this? So I started connecting with pastors. They were Baptist Assemblies of God, Foursquare. We would meet. And I would just ask questions like, tell me what you do here. We started building friendships in Spring Hill. And that, I started realizing I needed them in my life.
That's beautiful.
And so like, we would help each other. And the Lord over time just began to say, okay, I'm going to expand your tent pegs now, not just Spring Hill, but all throughout Nashville. Mm. So I call some of my dearest friends, pastors in Nashville, Hendersonville, you know, Columbia, Franklin, Brentwood. And we've now become friends. Like, we're in a group thread right now. There's about maybe 15. No, there's probably about 20 pastors on there.
Wow.
And we're just like encouraging one another.
Doing that's, life together. That's awesome.
Doing life. Beautiful. It takes time. It takes intentionality. Yeah. But it actually becomes, for me, it's like it's nourishment to my soul. I need it.
Yeah.
I am curious because when I hear kind of your mission is bringing, connecting the body of Christ, to me, it's like that's an obvious thing. Like, yeah, we should be connected. Right. But I grew up in the church. I grew up in a Christian household. I've seen where that's not necessarily the case all the time. I'm curious from a pastor's perspective, what do you think are, could you share with us what are like the main barriers that you see that that cause maybe not even division, but challenges when it comes to connecting believers who may be different in certain areas, but what are those barriers?
That's a good question. I think number one, it's busyness. Mm-hmm. Everybody's busy. You know, everybody, even pastors, you could be so busy in your own church. You have to make time for this. You got to make time to say, look, I make time in my schedule. Like, there's not a week that goes by that I'm not meeting with somebody outside of Southview. That's my desire. That actually feeds me, you know? So busyness is one of them. And then the other thing is competition, jealousy. Let's be honest, you know? When we connect, we have pastors that lead 100 people and then pastors that lead, you know, 10,000 or 5,000. And so you get them in a room, and if you don't get your heart checked, you're going to leave because you're going to be like, oh, I don't. This guy's got it together. This person's doing this, and they got 5 podcasts. I've never been on one. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? And so you start comparing, and you got to come in there realizing that everybody's different. Everybody's got a different thing that they're called to do, and I can't compare myself to them. And so, I think busyness is one of them. I definitely think competition, jealousy, and then I also think revelation. Like, that's the last one I would say. It's like people don't realize that. If Jesus is praying a prayer, it says in John 17 that this is his high priestly prayer. Jesus is praying this. And at the time, he was praying that they may be one. He's praying the Jews and the Gentiles coming together. But really, he's now praying that the body of Christ would come together. Mm-hmm. If Jesus is praying a prayer, I think we can all say that any prayers that Jesus prays are going to get answered. You know what I mean? And if Jesus is praying a prayer and it's not like, make them wealthy, you know, man, make them super cool. You know, like these prayers are like, make them one. That in their oneness, the glory of God can be revealed. So I'm thinking, like, maybe we missed it. Maybe we're, like, looking at that as an option. And I don't think people realize, pastors don't realize, this is actually a mandate. Mm-hmm. We should be doing this. And you go to any other nation, especially persecuted churches and nations where they're persecuted, they're connected. It's not about, there's no silos there. It's like, look, we're in this together. We're going to die together. We're going to live together. Like, and I think here in the Bible Belt, the buckle, you know, it's like, we're just like, man, we got our own. We're good. We don't need you. Mm-hmm. And slowly but surely, I can honestly say people are coming to the realization
That's awesome. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Thanks for bringing good news this morning.
Sir. Good news. Yes, it's happening, man.
It is. Let me shift the conversation. Still talking about being a pastor. And I think we've had other pastors on the show before, and I've asked them similar questions to this. But, you know, I grew up in, my dad wasn't a pastor, but I grew up in a family that did ministry. Mm-hmm. So I understand that just because you're on stage doesn't mean you don't have the same challenges that everyone else in the sanctuary might have.
Right,
and
right.
For pastors, I feel like people who are up on stage at the pulpit on Sundays, preaching or whatever, teaching, whatever it is they do, I'm always curious to ask them, how much of yourself are you bringing with you to the pulpit?
Wow.
How much of, you say you have 10 kids. I'm sure every morning's not just smooth sailing.
Yeah.
How much of that are you bringing on to the stage with you?
Yeah, too much, man. I'm telling you, like, I'm pretty transparent.
Too much.
I'm pretty transparent. You probably need to ask that to my kids.
Okay.
My kids are like, ugh. You guys probably know, man. It's like, you know, it, as a pastor, I'm going to say for me personally, and again, everybody's got a different style and a different mandate. You know, for me, I kind of lay it all out there. And I think people that come like that. And if you don't like it, there's 12 other churches in the area. But I believe that people want to see everyone and they want to get to know you. Like, if I can get up there and people can trust me, they know my heart, right? They know who I am. I love putting stories about what's going on in my life because people can identify with that. And really, honestly, I look at Jesus as the best communicator on the planet. And I try to study the way he communicated. And he used these things called parables. We know that. Like these stories that would relate to the people that he was speaking to. Speaking to fishermen, hey, man, I'm going to make you fishers of men. You know, he knew exactly what to say to capture the people he was speaking to. And I think many times as pastors, we sometimes think that we have to be unobtainable, like kind of like, no, you don't know about my life. And I think the more that we communicate who we are, the struggles we go through, the challenges, the victories, you know, I banter with my wife off stage. Like we'll talk back and forth and we'll make jokes. She's preaching this Sunday. And so I'm going to be doing something like shouting her down. Come on out. Yeah. So, but I think, you know, I think there's something to be said about including yourself in that, right? Because when people come to church, there's this stigma. Most people that would come will think, I can't do that. I'm not a good enough Christian. I'm not whatever that is. And we have to eliminate that, man. God's come for everyone, and we're all on different journeys together. And no matter if you just came to know Jesus, you've been serving Jesus for 20 years, we all need to look more like him. Yeah. And so it's in the process of telling your stories, you know? Yeah. You know, having 10 kids is unique, right? Like, I mean, that's a whole journey in itself. But I mean, like, of course I'm going to tell dad jokes. I'm a dad, man. Like, I'm like, I'm going to talk about my kids, you know? And I try to be careful that I don't share their dirty laundry or anything. I mean, my kids are good, by the way. If you're listening, I love them. They're perfect, man. They're like little angels. But you know, like, I think that's part of a good communicator is to let people into their story. That way they feel like they can connect with you. And I know you guys do that as well. I mean, you guys have been at Southview a couple times. And, you know, one of the greatest things that I love is when you talk about your dad, you talk about growing up, you talk about the cake story. I like the cake. Yeah, man, you sold the cake story. I was like, everybody was like, man, I can identify with that. And as soon as you do that, then you have an opportunity to share the gospel.
Sure.
And I think one of the worst things we can do as Christians is not tell our story. And just the gospel comes alive when it's partnered with our story. Yeah. And then people go, I can identify with that. I want Jesus too.
It reminds me of, we have a friend who he's done some stuff with Katina Ministries. I won't mention his name, but he grew up as a son of a pastor.
Yeah.
And he shared with us stories about how there were some Sundays where if he could go back and relive those Sundays, he feels like the best thing for his family and for the church would have been to go up on stage and tell their church, we don't have anything to give you today. Mm. We're dealing with our own stuff.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
And I think that especially for people who are in ministry, there's an unnecessary burden that can be put, that we can put on ourselves to hide.
Yeah, that's good.
To hide whatever it is that we want to hide. You know what I'm saying? Yep. And I think maybe that comes from good intentions that, well, I don't want to cause people to stumble I don't want to confuse people or I need, you know, people are coming here to be fed. I don't want to take away from that. But I think you hit it, you hit the bullseye when you said, the best thing we can do is share our story. That really is, I can feel it coming from you, but that really is the mission of our family too, is to share our stories, share our songs and stories, and let God handle the rest.
Yeah, no doubt.
I think, Josh, you hit a good point, and I think what Pastor Mark is saying, that different people have different styles, and not to throw shade at anybody, but when you don't have connection, it doesn't create an atmosphere for authenticity, right? So when you said about the whole hiding, a couple months ago, I won't say the city, because it's a big church, and he's a friend of ours, he's a senior pastor, and him and I were talking about some personal struggles that I also know that not everybody deserves a story, right? Or my story. I mean, there's places. Right. And this was a guy. We were at dinner, and he's a close friend. We see each other probably once every 2 years, and we were talking about our struggles, and he told me, he goes, man, Joe, I I didn't know that you struggled like in that way. He said, I've that's the struggle of my life. And he said he went to one of the mentors in his, you know, like it's a big denomination. And he's like, I did my best to try to say, hey, I need some help. And again, I'm going to tell you what this guy said. And I'm not saying every leader of a big denomination would say this, but I wasn't surprised, and it was sad. My friend went, and he told him, and his mentor guy said, "Ooh, well, it sounds like you need to turn in your credentials."
Wow.
And so my friend is still pastoring. You know, I don't. But can you imagine?
Wow.
Where is he gonna go and tell somebody, yeah, dude? This is where I'm at.
Yeah.
He'll lose his job. He'll lose everything. And I just thought, again, I don't want to paint the church in a way that's not every place is like that. And I think, again, the whole connection thing of connecting further beyond just Sunday morning or even just church activities, creating a space for people to be able to say, man, here's the real me. Is there hope for me?
Yeah.
Where do I go? Now, again, that is, you know, we don't just, oh, yeah, you're fine. You know, there's steps of recovery or redemption or whatever it is. But I think that's, as we're talking about connection, my hope, and I've been, I'm not saying I've always been connected. There are times where, years where I went to church and I did the thing, but I was not connected. Mm-hmm. And it always catches up.
Yeah.
Either now or later. So if you're listening and you feel lost or alone, man, and you, maybe you, hopefully you go to church, I would encourage you to find a place or a space where you can say, man, this is who I am, and still be loved be accepted.
Yeah, that's great.
Strong, Dad. Thanks for sharing that. Pastor Mark, before we get into basketball, I do have one question that I want to ask. I asked
this about football.
No, we can do football too.
Okay.
But I've asked this question to guests in the past because it's something I'm really interested in. And I think I kind of heard you talking with my dad and uncle before we started recording. But the question is this: What's the thing that you're dreaming about right now?
Shoo, man, this dude's getting some good questions.
Oh, yeah.
Let's go. How much time we got? No. Man, I'm a dreamer, man. And sometimes I think it gets me frustrated, but it also gives me hope. I don't know if you know that challenge, right? Like you dream and the dreams seem unobtainable, and that's why we dream, right? You don't want to dream something you can, like, my dream is to come home, you know? It's like, no, okay, I could do that. I want to see, I really love this region. I love Nashville. I really have. It's really, my passion is to see revival and reformation happen in this region. Like, I really want to see that. And, you know, as you're talking, I'm thinking, man, one of the greatest things I would love to do, you know, not only build the church that God's called me. I love our church. I love our church family. But I want to go after and help those pastors.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I want to build relationships with young pastors. Like, there's a stat that says right now that, and I'm going to get it wrong, so don't fact check me. But like some of the things is that the median age of a lead pastor is increasing in age. So I don't know if it's in its 50s or 60s. It's because the young people aren't coming into the ministry like they used to be.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I heard that stat, I'm like, man, that I want to see young people be excited about being a pastor. But I also want to see people that are pastoring not be pastors anymore that aren't called to pastor. Because
mm-hmm.
I think that what we've done, at least my generation growing up, is, you know, the epitome of serving the Lord was to be a pastor.
Mm-hmm.
And that was wrong because some people were called to be missionaries.
Mm-hmm.
And they're horrible pastors. I'm not getting no shade on missionaries, but they want to go. Mm-hmm. Pastors needs to stay.
Mm-hmm.
Some people were called to be teachers and whatever they were called to do, God wanted them to do it. But for some reason, they felt like the only way they could do it is by starting a church or being a head pastor. And so we're cleaning up the mess of that sometimes. But, you know, I'm passionate about family. You know, I really believe that the Lord wants to build the family again. That's why I love the Katinas. You know, I love the Samoan culture, and my wife is half Puerto Rican, so Puerto Rican and Italian culture, very similar in that it's all about family. Like, when the rubber meets the road, like, don't mess with my brother, you know, like, don't you talk about my sister. I can do it, but you can't, you know? And I think, like, that whole process of bringing that back into the church, where we actually care about each other, like we're blood family, I would love to see that happen too. So, you know, I told the Lord, I said, I'm going to commit my heart to really run strong now for the next 10 years. I'm going to be 50 this year. Wow. And so I'm like, dear Jesus. Oh, so let's go. Man. Let's
Jesse,
go.
Jesse, you 50. Oh, you guys.
Yeah, we're the same age. I didn't want to throw I didn't want to throw him out there, but you know.
Thanks for doing it.
Your brother did.
Jesse just went.
Hey, bro, we okay. Jesse,
come on. We're connected, bro. We're connected.
We're going to be okay. We're going to be okay. But one of the things I was like, man, what if I ran hard for the next 10 years? Mm-hmm. And my goal was, my dream, my desire is to raise up this generation. Mm-hmm. And some of that is my 10 kids. Like, I want my kids to fall in love with Jesus. And they don't have to be head pastor. I've told them this. You don't have to be a head pastor. You don't have to be in a church leadership. But I want you to love Jesus, mm-hmm, and be passionate about whatever you do. Mm-hmm. To fulfill in the kingdom. Mm. So my dream is to just see the kingdom advance in this region, to see unity. That's really it. You know, and then there's other things, like you're always like, man, I want to go to Italy. I want to go, you know, there's those things. But you know what I found is the scripture says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And I think what we do as pastors or leaders or Christians is we seek all these things. And then when we don't have them, well, okay, I'll do something over here for God. If we seek, I could tell you without a doubt, the more I've sought his kingdom, he's given me the blessings. Mm. Like, the desires of my heart, he does give. Yeah. Now, it's different. It's not always in my timing. Mm-hmm. But he has blessed us because we've committed our hearts to seeking first his kingdom. Mm. So I'm just going to continue to do that. And you know, those are my dreams. I know that sounds kind of like, oh, of course a pastor's going to say that. No, but I really, truly love the body of Christ. Mm. I do. I would be here if I wasn't a pastor. I would do it.
Bro, that's what I love about you. You know, Joe and I and the rest of our brothers, we've been ministers and, you know, traveling for years. Mm-hmm. And we can always tell that when we're in a place where pastors and a specific church, they're about the greater city, mm-hmm, about that mission.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's a certain kind of energy that comes with that. So being around you, again, you shared just your passion for Southview. Mm-hmm. But, man, just your intentionality to have communion and do life with the pastors to see God do something greater in this city is awesome. It's inspiring.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
I love, Pastor Mark, hearing about your passion for the next generation.
Yeah,
I was listening to some people. It was a podcast or TV show or something. They were talking about Gen Z, the rising generation, Gen Z. It seems like, and again, people are individuals, so everyone's not the same, but as a whole, Gen Z seems to be not very interested in institutions. Right. They're going to college at lower rates. They're getting married less. They're going to church less. All of these things that and I don't know necessarily what the cause of that is. I have my own ideas about why Gen Z might not be interested in institutions as much. But when it comes to the church, it is the body of Christ. But the reality is, at some level, it is an institution.
Right, right.
How do, what, if anything, needs to change about the church?
Yeah.
Become more attractive to younger people.
Yeah. Good question. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Killing it with the questions. I think the thing that this generation needs is they want authenticity. Okay. And you use the word attractional. I think that's the problem. Mm-hmm. We've been trying to be too attractional. Mm-hmm. And I look at this generation. We have quite a few young adults in our church. And we're going to be doing young adult every Friday. We're going to give them the full lay of this new building we're moving into. And the thing is, they just want to host Jesus. They just want to honor Jesus and love Jesus. And I think, honestly, if we can get away from all the extra stuff and just get it back down to discipleship, I actually think that this generation coming up has the answers we need as the body of Christ. And if we if we try to get them into the same model we've been doing, we're going to lose them. But if we just say, hey, what do you want? What are you looking for? Have conversations. But then the other thing is we need to start to be fathers and mothers to them. Like, they need fathers and mothers, spiritual fathers and mothers. And I think that one of the things, when I look at my kids, because everything you said is so true, like, right? Everything has been delayed now. But I actually think it's good because they're questioning things. And I think we need to question things. Like, why do we do this at church? Why do we have that? Why is that? And so we've kind of made it a practice now, like, just rethinking everything we're doing and going back down to the basics. Our young adults, the Gen Zs, they're coming alive when we go and read the scriptures. That's it. Not some fancy message like your best life now and come here and learn how Jesus wants you to be a millionaire. You know, it's like, no, no, man. Like this is what Jesus says, and it's a tough word. And they're like leaning in, like, oh, I want to hear more. And so I look at this like there's hope. I think this generation is actually going to refine the church. And if we will listen to them and we will not necessarily do everything they want, because how many know, like, we still need to steer them, discipleship. But if we will actually listen to what God is saying through them, I believe the church, those that listen and actually start to change. Because there's a lot of things we do in the body, in the church world, that are extra, that we have added on to the gospel. You know, like, one of the things I think we do a poor job is we activity out people. Like, what do you want? You like trains? Okay, we have a train ministry. You know, like, I'm like, you know, what do you want? Hot air balloons? We got a, you know, like, whatever you need. And I'm like, no. People don't need what they want. They need to hear what Jesus has to say. We got to get back down to the basics, like Acts 2, hanging out in the temple and in homes, breaking bread together, reading the word, being discipled, and actually doing family together. And I think this generation, as I look at ours and I look at my kids, something interesting I watch, they don't ever want to leave. They're like hanging out, man, in our house. I'm like, I was out, man. I was like hanging out. Like, they're here. And anytime we do something with family, they all kind of huddle around. They want to be around family. And I think that's what this generation is looking for. Like, we want to be part of the family.
That's good. That's good.
I'm hopeful, actually.
I am too.
Yeah.
I am too. Well, now I have the fun question for you. What is the expectation this year of a Philadelphia 76ers fan?
Actually, Josh, so Pastor Mark, he is a, you know, city fan of Philadelphia, but man, the Eagles.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Eagles are up there.
The Eagles are, nice. Yeah. So hierarchy, Eagles. And then it would be the Sixers right up there. And then the Phillies. The Flyers. I ain't got time for hockey. Okay. I'm just sorry, man. I'm like, hockey, you know.
Just because growing up in there.
If you go to Philly, it's Eagles first. It is Eagles all about. Now, the Phillies, man, they've been coming on hard in the last couple of years. And they're doing pretty good. But it is a green town.
I will say, so we were in Philadelphia for our Christmas tour. And it was, I mean, were the playoffs started yet or... No. Maybe right.
It was before the decline.
Oh, I remember. You had to bring that up.
I just remember.
It was the decline.
My dad. Because
everybody was rocking jerseys. Yeah.
Basically,
anytime
like the uncles wanted to get a rise out of the crowd, they just said something about the Eagles. Yeah. I think they wore like green shoes or something.
We did. Yes, he does, green man. Nikes,
like Philadelphia Eagle green.
Yeah. Come on.
And man,
what kind of sneakers were they, by the way?
Air Force Ones.
Okay,
green. So we're also connected with Pastor Mark on another level because his wife and his wife's sister is married to Uncle Jake.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so when I'm on the road during football season, I don't really like to call Mark directly, you know, when the games are, you know, wins or losses, I'll just kind of go through Jake. Jake, what's the temperature over there at Pastor Mark's house, man?
Yeah. I'm passionate. That's good.
Here's a question.
Tell me your question.
I'm ready. Philly sports fan.
Yeah, tell us.
I've always, maybe I'm wrong, but I've always perceived Philly, whether it's Eagles or Sixers, I've always seen their fans as they're the quickest to turn on on their players.
I've well, like always seen passionate. Their fans as the only fans that throw the batteries at Santa Claus.
I'm curious. Is that
I'm here to clear up the Philly fan name.
Is that a misconception that Philly fans...
That's a good question, man. A good question.
Is that real?
Well, so, you know, here's the deal. Philly fans are extremely passionate and knowledgeable. And the thing about it is, you know, that's a misnomer. A lot of people think they're just passionate, crazy. There's a whole thing about the Santa Claus getting thrown. Yeah. And the reality is, from what I've heard, I wasn't there and I didn't throw anything at him. but I heard that Santa Claus was drunk.
Oh.
And so the Philly fans were trying to, you know, like, get out of here, you know. But I've been to some games. Aiden's been to games. And it's electric, right? But... the thing about it is they know. So, like, when, for example, when the Eagles don't run the ball, you're going to hear it. They're going to boo because they're like, you got to run the ball to win the game. Mm-hmm. So I think there's a passion, but there's also a knowledge about it, you know. And then we're frustrated, man. Like, we hadn't won a Super Bowl till a couple years ago. And then last year we're in there. And, you know, that whole Super Bowl was fixed last year. You know, just like, you know what I mean? Like, because, you know, the golden boy, Patrick Mahomes, you got to give him, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, so that grass, the turf was bad. Anyway, I'm not bitter. But, and let's just say the Sixers, they got to get past the second round. If they don't do that, we're going to throw batteries again.
Oh, my God.
Man.
Wow.
Man. I don't know. Philly, they're the most passionate fans. At least from our experience, like, we've been, you know, every Sunday we're at a different church.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, tell me.
I've never seen so many Eagles jerseys at one place.
Yeah.
And this church that we go to in Philly, I mean, it's the way they teach, it's an hour and a half service, and the pastor preaches for an hour. He's one of our close friends. And it's just.
Is that Calvary Chapel?
Yes.
It is.
Joe Foch?
Precept, upon precept. And 8 o'clock in the morning, man.
Yep.
1,500 people out there in jerseys. Just
well, and here's the thing, man. Like, the temperature of the city changes, and I was like, and I'm a little bit competitive. I'm passionate, as you could tell, you know. So, like, I'd be listening, watching the game, and Monday morning, I'd be like, man, I don't know, man. I'm just down and out. My wife would be like, what's going on? I'm like, I don't know. And I'm like, oh, the Eagles lost yesterday. I had to tell the Lord, can you deliver me from this?
I remember
saying too much.
So I grew up as a Laker fan.
Yeah, yeah. You guys have a little bit more trophies than we do.
So I remember, like, the Kobe and Shaq run. Those were, like, my early days of fanhood. And there were two players in the NBA who I hated.
Yeah.
One was Chris Webber.
Yep.
And the other was Allen Iverson. Come on.
True story.
I hated it.
I was at the championship game when you guys won in Philly that one year. I forget.
Oh, you were.
I was up in the rafters.
Oh, wow.
And it was the AI, of course. You know, he was doing his best. But there was no way he was going to beat.
Right. Sure.
He couldn't do it.
Yeah.
And so you guys won. That was the last game. And you had to go celebrate in the locker room because Philly was angry.
We
were angry. And I was like we were all walking out like zombies, like you guys were like, it was like the 20th more championship you won. I was there, man. I'll never forget that.
I wish that I wouldn't have hated AI, because now looking back, like, he was such an exciting player. I didn't get to enjoy that because I was just I want to beat him. He's not better than Kobe, all this stuff. And
He had classic sound bites too.
That's how I feel about Patrick Mahomes. I probably should enjoy it.
Yeah, right.
He's not that good.
I feel that way. I feel like there's a lot of people like that for LeBron James. I don't know where you stand on the LeBron thing,
but
I do feel like there's some people who are missing out on enjoying a guy like that.
Tell us, Justin. I was going to ask Mark about a question for the Eagles. So are we set on the line? Is that the weakness that you see with Kelce retiring recently?
Man. Do you know that yesterday I was just having meetings with staff, and I got your text. You're like, hey, man, what do you think about Kelce? I'm like, oh, I didn't know. So Jesse's the new sports newsbreaker. Yeah, man. You know, it's funny. Like, I think I'll go back and say this. I think sports is a good break for pastors and leaders. Yeah. You know, you need something, right?
Sure.
You know, even though you come home and you're like, you know, poured your heart out on the pulpit and all this stuff, and then you come home and your Eagles break your heart again. It's like, man, but there's something about sports that gives you. Now, I think everybody has outlets, right? Some people play golf. I don't golf. I just I like sports and music. So, so like,
I went to visit a church in Brentwood on Sunday. Our friend was preaching,
yeah.
And you know, they're all gearing up to Easter, and there's like, so you know, everybody you know what's, and it's an 8 o'clock service, so it's a very conservative crowd. And
yeah.
As we all know, what's coming up in 3 weeks, and the guy sitting behind me, he said out loud, "March Madness." I was like, oh.
Yeah. And
this
Jesus.
Guy didn't grow up in church.
That's funny.
Oh, yeah, so I you know, listen, I'm always hopeful, right? Every year you're hey, all
that's good, man.
Every year we all start back same, at zero.
Stay passionate.
We're all the same until you know Patrick gets around the officials and complains.
Oh my god.
Okay,
gosh.
I'm bitter.
Oh man. Well, do you guys have any more questions?
No.
No. This has been a blast. Yes. I really appreciate you
yeah, man.
Taking the time to be here, Pastor, and talking about the church as well as the Sixers and the Eagles. It's been
I'll just say this. Don't sleep on Tyrese Maxey. That's all I gotta say.
Okay, yeah, right. I'm not sleeping.
Yeah. Okay, okay.
I like yeah, that guy. He's fun to watch. But yeah, you're welcome back here on the show anytime.
You,
it's been a great time, and I think our audience will really be blessed to hear what you have to say.
Amen.
I want to say too, man, yeah. Pastor, thank you for your heart,
yeah.
your passion. We know what it means to pastor a church. And be a kids, you know, I have a heart for pastor's kids.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
Because I am yep. one, you know, and growing up in a glass house is, it comes with some blessing, but a lot of burden too. And God always provides, but I just, so anytime around, we are around pastor's kids, we try to give them an extra hug and encouragement. And just thank you for continuing to lead families. And I love what you said early on, but there's plenty of churches, and I just got to be me. I just got to lead the way God is, you know, you and Leanne and just yeah. your family, and you guys are making a difference in the community. We know, even in our own blood family. So props to you.
Thank you. Thank you, man.
Thank you guys.
Yeah.
So those of you listening, thank you for tuning in. We'll be back with more episodes soon. Have a great day.